We'd like to greet you all in Jesus' name, and welcome to the first day of May. It's hard to believe. I remember when I was younger, my previous bishop would give the date, like, this is May 1st of 2022. It's hard to fathom. And I think I remember him telling me that when it was 2020. I mean, I'm sorry. 2000, not 2020, 2000. And first of all, I'd like to give a public thank you for everyone who came to our place to help catch chickens. It was very, very well done. It's over. That day that we shipped, different people asked me if we know anything about AI. We know what AI is, but the day that we shipped our birds, we got a test and it was negative, so we were clean. And so I gave that day's report to the shipper, and he was tickled pink, because nobody wants that to be spread around. And I think our birds were going to Southern Maryland, but he was happy and I was happy. And there's a certain amount of stress that goes away with that, especially 2 days later. I think below us, another chicken house got it. And so I'm kind of sandwiched between AI. But I have no birds. I'm birdless. And I thank God for that. And so we appreciate your prayers. The thing that my desire is that we continue to reflect Christ in every way. I you have to bear with me. After the birds were out, we scraped out. And I blew down some, and I think I got some stuff in my throat. So I'm hoping I don't cough too much here. But I would like to, since it's the beginning of the month, I'd like to give you a quiz. First of all, who shared last Sunday? Who shared last Sunday? Tell me the name, yeah. Russ Melnick. And what book and what chapter did he read? I think it was 15, but yeah, Luke 15. Yep, prodigal son. Amen. And I have a question here. What does these two sons want from their dad? What did these two sons want from their dad? His stuff, right. They wanted his money. They wanted their inheritance. They wanted that. And the prodigal wasted his money and lost it all. And the prodigal got to the bottom. He repented. Thank you, Titus. He got to the bottom and he repented. He was broken. He was humbled, he was empty of self, and he returned to his father with the understanding he'll be a servant, that he did not want to be a son. He didn't feel like he was worthy to be a son. And the elder brother, how did he respond? Was he happy? Right. This elder brother was angry, he was selfish, and he was stubborn. And I was realizing, or the thing that hit me was, I'm afraid we have more elder brothers than prodigals in the church. And that's a choice. And it's also an understanding of who the Father is. If we understand who our Father is, we would respond like the prodigal. Because we don't deserve anything that we have. When the prodigal, I should say this, I'm hoping that we learn a lesson from what was shared. When the prodigal came back, what did he receive from his father? He received love. He received gifts, and he received forgiveness. This morning, I was hoping that we could discuss or just skim the surface a little bit of what forgiveness is. I'm not going to be able to give a... Forgiveness is so broad, it's so big, it's so awesome. But I'm hoping we can at least skim the surface in regards to the idea of forgiveness or being forgiven. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again with grateful hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the freedoms that we so often take for granted. We thank thee that we have the ability to gather in this way and to share and read your word and to share with other brothers and sisters who love you. We pray, Father, especially for those that are in Ukraine, we pray that you might keep your children safe, give them wisdom and strength and courage to be faithful, and help us all, Father, to realize that we need you regardless where we're at. We also pray that you might bless this service. We ask that if there are any evil spirits here that you might cast them out. And then, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us and penetrate into our lives. Help us to see what your word has for us. We ask that you might give us a will to do your will so that the world can see you more clearly and that you would be lifted up and you would be honored and glorified. We thank you again for this privilege. And we just pray that you might help us to walk in truth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I would, this story that Russ gave, I'd like to have another story read. And I asked Lyndon to read this story. And it's in Genesis 45. And this is over the time of Joseph. And I would like if you can turn there, and maybe we'd like to learn the lesson of forgiveness from Joseph. So, Lyndon, do you mind reading?
All right, Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which we will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and your children, and your children's children, your flocks, and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, Say to your brothers, Do this, load your animals, and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, Do this, take carts of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. And he came, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with good things, with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, See that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt, and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is a governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go to see him before I die.
Amen. Joseph was an awesome example of forgiveness. If I understand right, there was 2 times before this that he went off to get recomposed before he, presented himself as the leader. His brothers, it was an emotional time for Joseph, but he wanted to make sure that they've changed. And so he ran through those tests to help see their change. And when he saw that their love for Benjamin and their love for their father was what it should have been, that's when he opened himself up to them. And as I see Joseph as this example of forgiveness, when you think about, I think it was 20 years went by from the time he was cast in the pit and sold to, into Egypt. And we all know the story, how he was just kept lowering and lowering and ended in the dungeon. And, what he went through, a lot of people would have given up. A lot of people would have got bitter. A lot of people would have said, hey, if this is how God is, forget it. But this, in my mind, only a life that had a close communion with God would be able to go through this, knowing that there was all these injuries of the past. So Joseph had a relationship with God. As I see that, Joseph, he believed God, he trusted God, he loved God, and he obeyed God. There's some verses here in Ephesians. I'd like to read Ephesians 4, just 2 verses here. It says, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I was made to think in Matthew when Jesus was giving the model prayer. He read here in chapter 6, I'll begin reading here at verse 7. It says, But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. That doesn't mean we don't ask him for it. I mean, he knows what we need, but as a father, it's nice to hear your son say, "Dad, could I have this, or could we do this?" There's something about that, and I think God is the same way. He wants us to ask, even though he knows what we need. Anyway, after this manner, therefore, pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I thought about, Peter had a problem with this. In Matthew 18, Peter says this. Matthew 18, verse 21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And I was doing a little research, and the Jews, they have a strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out deal. And that's as many times, and it's over. And I used that. I had that with a bank one time. They were taking money out of my account, and I went in there and got straightened out. And after the third time, I told him, I said, "Strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. I'm going to another bank," which I did. But I don't think it was quite the same as this forgiveness thing, because I did have an option to go somewhere else. At any rate, it says, Jesus speaking then, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And that doesn't mean that 490 times you can start going after him or something. It doesn't mean that. It's perpetual. It says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he said, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay the utmost, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man his brother their trespasses." I realize that when I read this, this last verse really hit me. Because it says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that trespasses." In other words, I met people who already said, "Oh, I forgive you," but it really wasn't from their heart, because somebody else could come along and they bring this up, and they're holding this against you. It's the Adamic nature. And Jesus is saying here that if we do not forgive from our heart, truly forgive, he's going to hold us accountable. That's scary. I mean, that's like, wow, we got to make sure our heart is right. We got to make sure that we're forgiving right. The thing that We must understand we have to give a true forgiveness from the heart. Yesterday, I spent a little time reminiscing. I have a file folder at home called Remembrances, and I have an envelope there full of letters. And it kind of went through me again because I realized how bad I was. These letters were back in 1973. I was 14, 15. And I went over these letters. J.C. Penney, Provident Bookstore, Willow Valley. It was things I stole. And back then, we had what you call a phone book. And the phone book, you know, you could look up the place, and a lot of times they had the address underneath where it was for. And so I could go back and look up J.C. Penney, and I can go up and look Provident Bookstore, and I got their address, and I wrote this letter basically saying, hey, I stole this from your store, and I became a Christian, and I'm sorry, and God says we should restore. I need restitution here, and I would like to be forgiven. And the thing that stood out to me in a lot of those letters, they say, you are forgiven. You have been forgiven, and we are glad for you. And I mean, it was just, it went through me again because I realized when I went through that transition, I felt I needed to keep these letters because I know I was listening to older men who told me that the devil wants to try and take you down. And he might take you down when you're older and say, well, you didn't get this straight, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that. And so I kept those letters, of which I am very grateful now. I mean, if I could have drove a car, I probably would have drove there, but you have to understand my age and so on. Because in one sense, writing a letter seems a little cheap. But there was some things that came up after I started driving, and I remember going to one place. This guy was in a rest home, and I went through his pumpkin patch and messed up a bunch of pumpkins, and I went and apologized to him and offered to pay for it and all that. But, you know, I found freedom. And I am so glad that everybody forgave me. And with that, I'm just hoping that you let the Holy Spirit work in your life. And if there's something that you need to get straightened out, you need to clear up, I'd encourage you to get it taken care of. I was thinking here with when we have a relationship with God, God will forgive us. I'm going to say it's me. And the only way we can have this vertical relationship is if we pardon our fellow men. The only way we can have this relationship with this forgiveness is we have this forgiveness on this level as well. And that's what the Bible is trying to teach us. We need to be, you know, having this relationship with God, which is great, but it is determined by how we relate on our level, on our vertical. So my prayer is that we can understand that. I have something here that I really, really liked. I'm going to read this. It says, forgiveness is man's deepest need and also his highest achievement. Get that. Forgiveness is man's deepest need and it's also his highest achievement. It ties man in a vital way to the Maker as well as to his fellow men. Having a vertical forgiveness, we must exercise the horizontal pardon. We also soon see a person who does not forgive often burns the bridges over which he must pass later on. So it's a two-way street kind of thing. And forgiveness is to erase debt, to pardon, to excuse, or to give up the desire to punish or to get even. I think I've shared this before. I was in a place of business one time, and we were talking about non-resistance. You know, we don't fight, we don't get back and all that. And one young fellow there, he said, "Oh no, we don't fight, we just get even." I'm like, wait a minute. And I rebuked him right there because he was a religious person. And I said, getting even is the same thing as just as fighting back. We need to go the second mile. We need to just, you know, give it over to God. So I was going back to my acronym, and I would like you to understand. I asked this question, and the question goes like this. What happens when you truly forgive? What happens when you truly forgive? And you find freedom. You probably heard this story before, but there was a man who had a dream, or he had a real issue with a guy that really did him dirty, and he was just mad at this guy because this guy took him financially. He messed up his reputation and all that. And he had this dream, and the dream was this guy was in his cage. You know, this was a guy that really needed to get he needed to be dealt with. He's a bad guy. And in this dream, he finally said, "You know, Lord, I'm done. I want to forgive this guy." And so there was a door to this guy, and the guy could come out. He came out of this cage, only to find out it was him. He was the one that was in that cage because he did not know how to forgive. And when he forgave, he released himself. And he found this freedom that he didn't have before. When we have true forgiveness, we are an overcomer. We overcome evil thoughts. We overcome retaliation. We overcome, you know, trying to get even with these people. We overcome that when we truly forgive. The other thing is we find rest or release when we truly forgive. This is what happens to us. The other thing is we find grace. And that grace is something we experience, but then we can also give it out. We can give that grace to others when we truly have this true forgiveness in our lives. Then another thing that we find when we bear with me, I'm not a school teacher like some people here, but we also find inspiration. Two Sundays ago, when Luke Martin was here, wasn't he enthusiastic? Wasn't he excited? Wasn't he just on fire? And you know why? Because he found forgiveness. He found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And he was wanting to help other people with that freedom that he found. Another thing, when you find true freedom or forgiveness, is you find your value. You find the value of yourself and also others. Because when you have asked for forgiveness, you realize you know, God did this for you. This was your relationship with him. You have value, and also the value of other people. Last but not least, when you have true forgiveness, you find empathy. Joseph loved his brothers. He loved his brothers, he really did. But he forgave his brothers first. And we have, you have sympathy, you have compassion, you have warmth to people when you have totally forgiven, true forgiveness. So don't be bitter. Don't be in this cage, creating yourself grief and trouble and strife. Be free. Find freedom through forgiveness. And it also, it's better for your health. Less stress. The thing I'm impressed with, Jesus Christ, you think about it, Jesus humbled himself. He didn't just humble himself, he also was an unselfish person. He was also a giving person. And you all, we had a message one time on this. Can someone tell me what the acronym stands for? The cross of Jesus Christ. You got it. Amen. You're good. Clean. I give you an A+. I was your wife. I think I was your wife. Consistently reflecting our Savior's spirit. And that's the cross that God wants us to walk. Consistently reflecting that spirit of Christ in us. I came across a bunch of different sayings. It says, there's no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. Think about it. There is no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. And the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. You choose to be strong if you want to forgive. Because after you do that, you find the freedom. You find all these other things when you forgive. I think the first step is to understand that forgiveness does not exonerate the evil person, but forgiveness liberates the victim, and it's the greatest gift to yourself. And without forgiveness, life is governed by an endless cycle of resentment and retaliation. Without forgiveness, it just goes on and on. And to err is human, but forgive is divine. I really like that, because we are to be like Christ, and so we need to forgive so that we can be a part of God's kingdom. Forgiveness is a needle that, this goes with the ladies, that's why I wrote it down. It says, forgiveness is a needle that knows how to mend. And forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. And forgiveness is another name for freedom, which we already expressed. I would like to read this yet. This past week was a full week. It was an interesting week. And actually, there was just so many different things happened. I was in a place of business to get my blower fixed. And this young fellow, you know, he said, hey, I'll help you. And he would get out and he walked like this. He was a young guy. And, you know, I just said to him, I said, What happened to you? Oh, he said, when I was 16, I was shot. He was riding a four-wheeler in the woods. And some neighbors were shooting across, and they were shooting a target on someone else's property without permission. And he said he felt like he died almost five times. He said he was 16. And he said his dad was in the back of the cycle. And so he got the bullet, the son did. And I could tell at first it was like, it was bringing back some memories. And he said, I really think they should have been dealt with better than they did. They said there was some should have been some charges filed or something, but it left go. And he said, and he's now 30 or 32, has two children, married well. He said, God's been good. And you can tell it was past. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, forgiveness is a key factor in helping you to go forward in those situations. And I was glad he shared, but it struck me, here's a man who went through this, and if anybody had grounds for being bitter, he would have, but he didn't. All right, I'd like to read this yet in closing, because I tell you that we have books beside in our bathrooms, and I came across this reading, and I thought it was just perfect. So the process of forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalms 103:12. An unforgiving spirit is a malignancy. Okay, how do you say that? Malignancy in a person's soul that spreads like cancer. An unforgiving spirit spreads like cancer. Yet the Father offers a sure healing process for the heart that is consumed with bitterness. There's four words here that start with R. I want you to catch them. The process of forgiveness. First of all, it's repentance. You need to assume the responsibility for your unforgiving spirit and ask God to pardon you for your resentment. You must also forgive the person who offended you. Secondly, you need to release, forego any expectations you have of restitution, even if you feel the person owes you something. Just let it go. Give it over to God. Recognition. I really like this as a recognition. Acknowledge that the person's wrongdoings towards you was not just harmful or offensive, but that the behavior ultimately grieved God. The Lord is the one who will judge the offense, and you can trust him to vindicate you. And then remembrance. Recall how often God has forgiven you, or how often he forgives you. Friend, you cannot truly experience the joy of God's forgiveness until you follow his model and pardon those who've wronged you. Do not allow the cancer of bitterness to continue in your heart. Life is much sweeter when the heart is tender and not tainted. Lord, I thank you for your gift of forgiveness. Help me to always extend it to others. Amen. I came across this that I'd like to share. I took a picture of it. I was lazy. And I want you to think this through. In the blink of an eye, everything can change. In the blink of an eye, everything can change. So forgive often and love with all your heart. You may never know when you may not have that chance again. In the last couple of months, my wife and I have gone to so many funerals. It almost, you know, we're thankful it stopped. I mean, we were every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, somebody was dying. And I am thankful that cycle stopped. But what I just read, be kind. You never know when the last time might be. And may God help us to remember that God has forgiven us much, of which I am grateful. And if there's something that you did in your life that needs to be straightened out, get it straight. And I hope you can understand that when I did that reminiscing yesterday, it was good for me. So God bless you all.